I speak to you in the name of the one, holy, and undivided Trinity. Amen. Please be seated. So the passage from the gospel that you just heard on this annual meeting Sunday, here's Jesus continuing the Sermon on the Mount after the Beatitudes. Word has spread throughout the Galilee of his miraculous healing power, so people, crowds have been gathering to see what this Jesus thing is all about. And he's just described some ideal characteristics of a follower. You heard them last week: faithful, humble, comforting, just, sincere, merciful, peacemaking, sacrificing. But now, Jesus turns the conversation away from the individual attributes of a disciple towards a community, towards the body of Christ and what they are called to do in the world. And he tells them to be salt and to be light. Now, there's a lot to be said about salt as a metaphor for discipleship. It preserves what could otherwise rot away. It purifies and it cleanses. It can melt snow. It can quench fires. And in proper amounts, as any chef knows, it adorns and it enhances and it amplifies what is already good, what is delicious. You, Trinity Church, are salt. You're also light. Light, of course, illuminates. It brightens a corner. It fills a room. It allows us to see what is all around, to see what is true. Light banishes gloom, reduces fear and doubt. It pours, it bathes, it streams. Can you think of a penurious verb around light? It doesn't just trickle. Light bursts. Light at the end of the tunnel gives hope and courage. It shows the way. We're accustomed to hearing of Jesus as light of the world, shining forth, breaking across the dawn. But today, Jesus reminds us that we are the light as well. We are asked to shine the love of Christ through our own works, to make what is true, what is right, what is God-given and hopeful, visible to all. You are the light of the world, says Jesus. Let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. It is the tradition for a rector of a parish to review in her rector's report the year past at an annual meeting, but also to preview the year to come. So in that vein, in this homily address, I want to reflect back to you how you have been in the last year, salt and light, and how we're called to be so in the year to come. So here goes. Now, many of you know that a major task of the vestry in the last really year and a half has been a revision of the congregation's mission statement. And on some level, Jesus gave us one today, but nonetheless, we've worked on our own for a while. It was a lengthy process, but ultimately we devised the following. Trinity Episcopal Church is an urban faith community that embodies the love of Jesus Christ through welcome, worship, witness, and work that seeks to transform our lives, our neighborhood, and our world. But I will tell you that in one of the many iterations of that, before we settled on the metaphor of embodiment, of manifestation of the love of Jesus Christ, an earlier draft used the language of light. Trinity Episcopal Church is an urban community that illuminates the love of Jesus Christ through welcome, worship, witness, and work to transform our lives, our neighborhood, and the world. And it's really fitting in this season of Epiphany that in our mission, dance, almost interchangeably, language of manifestation and language of light. Because we are the body of Christ, and we shine the light of Jesus for others. An expanded version of that mission statement goes on. It says, we do this through expansive welcome to testify to the radical, abundant, expansive, and unfailing love of God for all people. We do this through worship that inspires to faith and personal transformation, through elegant liturgy, exquisite music, and on a good day, excellent preaching. We do this through witness in preaching and teaching, in our action, in our very being, that proclaims resurrection in the face of death, promotes reconciliation in the face of division, and pursues justice in the face of inequity. And we do this through work. Work that serves our neighborhood and seeks to transform our world. Now, your vestry has identified 5 strategic priorities, words one hopes never to hear in a sermon, 5 strategic priorities to guide how we will live into this mission in the next 3 to 5 years. And they simultaneously reflect work that is already underway and focus us for the future. So I will shine a light on some of those now. This will not be comprehensive, or we will be here all day. But there's a lot. It's been a rich, dare I say, salty, light-filled year. So our first strategic priority is to maintain and expand excellence in our liturgy, in our music, in our preaching, in our formation. It seems basic. Keep doing what we're doing, which we identify most readily as the work of the church. But if COVID taught us anything, it taught us that's not basic. And it's a huge accomplishment that after 2 years' disruption by the pandemic, we have returned to our full Sunday offerings. We have learned it is much harder to restart something than it is to stop it. But we're back with a full choir, with a generous complement of liturgical volunteers, with increasing attendance, vibrant Sunday school classes, robust youth groups, and more. We were able to take 2 pilgrimages this past summer, which really feels like a holy miracle. Over 75 people traveled to Europe and the UK with the choir, with the youth. We're organizing for a Holy Land pilgrimage next fall. There's still room. I hope you will consider joining me. We also were able to unveil the children's chapel that you so generously contributed to and resume all kinds of wonderful things in there. Thank you. Thank you especially to our Sunday school and youth leaders, to our liturgical volunteers, to our formation leaders, to our choir members, for all of the work of this hard year of coming back. A goal that we've named for the year ahead is to expand and strengthen specifically our Trinity Choristers program. And in the next year, I plan to raise funds so that we can announce a chorister scholars program through which dedicated choristers can gain some scholarship for either St. Richard's, our partner school, or other educational institutions of their choice. We also have a goal to expand the membership of our altar guild, to invite more of you into the holy, vital work of behind-the-scenes care for our sacred vessels and liturgical appointments. Also, with the arrival and settling in of Demarius Walker, our new spiritual formation associate, we'll be doing some really intentional work on discerning the direction and the depth of adult formation at Trinity. And he and Father Adam will be inviting you into some really significant conversations about that in the months to come. Another strategic priority is newcomer invitation, welcome, and incorporation. Anyone who knows biology knows if you're not growing, what are you doing? You're dying, or you're dead. We are not dying. We are growing, but we have work to do to keep growing, to keep living into our gospel commission to make disciples and to be a welcoming, expansive place of welcome. This year, our still new Director of Communications, Leanne Noss, rolled out a beautiful new design for our website, assisted by our last Director of Communication, Tracy Lemon. This is a key tool for evangelism as well as congregational development information. Last year, Mother Megan was our dedicated priest for newcomer welcome, and this year in the fall, Father Adam took on those responsibilities, and it's bearing fruit. We have one sign of that. We have over 20 new pledging households this year. That's huge. Our goal for next year is to create clearer pathways and also increase lay involvement in new member incorporation so that the formation journey from visitor to member to leader is evident for all. And we'll do this through some specific offerings. This spring, I'll be teaching transforming questions and inquirers class, and then in the fall, Father Adam and Demarius will be creating a revised version of the beloved GIF Journey in Faith program. We hope many GIF alumni will get involved. Also, in Lent, we'll be rolling out Circles at Trinity, a small groups program in which we hope everyone in our congregation, from newcomer to longtimer, can find an intimate community of spiritual friends. Another strategic priority, this is three, if you want to know where we are, is the nurture and care of our parish community. We want every member to feel known, loved, and cared for at all stages of their lives. Not just by your clergy, but by your congregation, by your church. When Father Ben left our staff last summer, I was pleased, thrilled to call the Reverend Mary Mail as Trinity's part-time associate for pastoral care. She was already in our congregation, already in our choir. And just in a few months, Mother Mary, who prefers to be just called Mary, right, Mary? Mary has expanded Trinity's visitation to the homebound, to those in nursing homes and hospitals, and has worked to train, support, and resource our wonderful lay Eucharistic visitors as they've rebuilt after COVID pause. And you're going to hear from Mary and also Carol DeCourcy, who's led those ministries for some time later today. Mother Megan also in the fall started an addiction and grace conversation group. And this year, we really hope to add a grief group as well. I'm also putting together a small team of leaders to imagine Trinity's response to the growing mental health crisis in our society. We have all endured a great deal of trauma in the last set of years. It's time to do some intentional work on healing together. Our fourth strategic priority is to partner for justice in our neighborhood and city. And this reflects our long-standing commitment to be the hands and feet of Christ in service to others in our community. It is a huge accomplishment that we were able to open the Trinity Service Corps this year. You'll hear more about this from its program director, Demarius Walker, and from Father Adam at the meeting later this morning. But I want to take a moment to thank the implementation team led by Father Adam, by your senior warden, Todd Relyu, and your soon-to-be senior warden, Kate Howe, and so many others. Through their hard work, we were able to welcome our first cohort in August and Demarius as program director in September. And this ministry allows us to deepen our relationship with community partners while supporting young faith and justice leaders in the future. It's so exciting. It's also so exciting that the Sunday dinner has moved back indoors to really live into the ministry of hospitality and community building with our neighbors. The Exodus welcoming team helped the Afghan family with whom they've been in companionship into safe and supportive permanent housing this summer. We continue to partner with Mid-North Food Pantry as they discern their future goals in addressing food insecurity in our neighborhood. And I personally have been blessed by partnership with the ACLU in some justice advocacy work, standing with others to speak out, particularly against anti-trans and anti-choice legislation. And this has helped me to illuminate our Episcopal baptismal covenant to promote the dignity of every human being, to be salt and to be light. Some goals for 2023. We are engaged in a diocesan program called the Church Buildings Collaborative Partnership to continue the work of missional use of our properties. We're going to use that work to also discern the next use of the Alley House, previously Project Home Indy. And we also want to work with some intention on integrating the Social Justice and Racial Reconciliation Working Group's strategic plan into our own parish life, as well as our diocesan covenant to root out racism. And by the way, the Social Justice and Racial Reconciliation Working Group's pilgrimage in the spring, the Civil Rights Pilgrimage, is going to be a really exciting opportunity, really, for all of us to learn. Our fifth strategic priority, and it's an urgently necessary one, don't mistake it just because it's last, to steward our resources, financial, properties, and people, for sustainability and for growth. Your generosity, both in 2022 and in your pledging for 2023, has been so inspiring. Thank you. You're going to be thanked later, but I'm going to say it now. Thank you for your generosity. And we need to be very clear as a community that more than half, well more than half of our parish budget is sustained by spending from our invested assets, from our legacy fund. Not surprisingly, recent volatility in the stock market has made our finances tricky. I have great news. Your financial leaders were up to the challenge, and in November, we made some very quick pivots in order to balance our budgets, last year's and this, responsibly. But we have long-term work to do, strategic work to do around our investments and our future revenue sources in order to have a sustainable economic future. Now, to be clear, I'm not implying that we should stop using our endowed legacy funds in an outward-facing way. I am so proud that over the years, Trinity has consistently used its abundance in order to be salt and light for the world, whether it was in creating St. Richard's Episcopal School, St. Nicholas Early Learning, the whole Outreach Center, the Service Corps, lending to Trinity Haven so it could buy its own house, partnering with our Neighborhood Community Development Corporation. Trinity has consistently understood that our wealth is not our own, but a gift from God to be used in service to God's people. Bravo. But it's time to be thoughtful about our revenue sources, as well as our spending, which we always are, so that future generations can be similarly creative. And our strategic plan invites us both to preserve and to grow our assets, both financial and our human assets, you, while making courageous, values-based decisions for the here and now. So we need to expand our attention to planned giving and to major giving, possibly to investigate a capital campaign to endow our buildings and grounds so that our annual giving, your stewardship year on year, might support the dynamic and changing and developing ministries to which we are called. These are strategies for building up monetary assets, but we also want to be strategic about building up the asset which is the leadership of our congregation. And so, and very soon, we'll also be rolling out a congregational skills and interest inventory to better identify the assets in our pews, in our community, your gifts that could be used to glorify God in this place. So stay tuned for all of that and more. So that's an overview of some strategic priorities of the parish as we've lived into them last year, as we're called into them next year. And just before concluding, I want to address two other aspects of the year to come. First of all, I trust you all read my communication a few weeks ago about Mother Megan's impending transition back to the Chicago area. It's bittersweet. In a very short time, Megan has rebuilt our Sunday school and families programs from their COVID hiatus with her characteristic enthusiasm and joy. She's done amazing work as chaplain to St. Richard's in just 8 months. And we're sad to lose her, though we are overjoyed at her personal joy and her own transition in life. I have begun a search process for Megan's replacement, but I'm going to be honest with you, in the church, just like everywhere else, the employment market is really tight. So please pray for me and those who will be assisting with the search and all who might be discerning to join us in ministry here. And I will keep you posted about Megan's leave-taking and also the future of that position. Finally, in last year's address, I mentioned that I will soon be taking a sabbatical leave. Episcopal clergy in our diocese are eligible after 5 years of service. I've actually been with you for 6.5. So it's time. I'm delighted to report that recently Trinity was granted a Lilly Endowment clergy renewal grant of over $46,000 to support my sabbatical travels and also the parish's own work of renewal during my time away. The theme of my sabbatical is pretty basic. It's rest and renewal. And my time away will be May through mid-August of this year. And in later communications, I'll share with you more details as well as some exciting ways that you as a congregation will also explore rest and renewal during my absence. One major opportunity to do so will be the parish retreat at Waycross on May 19th through 21st. Please mark your calendars. Please plan to come down to Brown County. You can come for one day or all three, to rest and to play and to be with your parish family. As it happens, Dr. Messina will also be having an overdue sabbatical leave this summer as well. And so we're working hard to prepare well for a wonderful summer of excellent liturgy despite our absences. And we are profoundly grateful for Father Adam and for Assistant Organist Nara Lee and many other colleagues who will lead you this summer. Obviously, I have a penchant for looking forward. I pretty much keep us looking forward. That's, I consider, my primary job. But I do want to invite us to take a moment and think about the year that has passed, where we have come from to get here in this moment as a congregation. 1 year ago, our annual meeting was hybrid. A year before that, it was completely on Zoom. But it was hybrid, and we had every other row roped off. And we were not singing congregationally, and we were not having brunch afterwards in the fortune room. Everything felt a little tentative, quite bluntly, still a little scary. Since then, we have celebrated an indoor Easter and an indoor Christmas, things I will never take for granted again. An incredible harvest fall feast dinner. Countless St. Richard's chapels, Episcopal schools Sundays, two of them, parish picnics, evensongs and concerts, game nights, service days, hymn sings, pilgrimages, cookie bakes, jam sales, joyful baptisms, sorrowful funerals, and everything else in between. You have stood by your neighbors in rain and snow and melting heat to make sure that they have food. It has been a year of church. And you have taken care of one another and cared for those beyond these walls well. You should be very proud of yourselves. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of us. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Let your light shine. Amen.